the program. And so, Steve, I'll run slides for you. Perfect. Floor is yours.
Perfect. Well, Dave, thank you for the opportunity to come share some of our thoughts. I think Dr. Belt did an outstanding job of identifying where we need to get to. And I think if we think about the comments that I'm going to make and the comments that Dick Carlson will make following me, we're part of that process of how we get there, because we don't yet live in a perfect world. There are plenty of challenges that we're faced with every day. Consumer demand for specification beef products continues to pull our industry away from the traditional commodity system and toward a value-based system, increasing the need for producer supply chains, vertical coordination programs, and alliances. Less than a decade ago, the number of cattle marketed through such programs represented only a fraction of the nation's total. Today, with literally thousands of branded and convenience beef products offered through retail and food service outlets, the demand for cattle that meet specific requirements is rapidly increasing. Analysts claim that more than 20% of the calves born this year will be marketed through some form of vertical integrated programs. However, the industry leaders recognize that several markets for beef exist and that not all specs must be alike. And I think that's what we want to talk about today. As Bob said, I own and operate Magnum Feed Yard. We're a custom cattle feeder, and our business is that of service. We very much believe in the fact that we're a service company. Under the umbrella of our organization, we've got Magnum Feed Yard, Magnum Finance, a financing company that we have to supply those kinds of services to remain competitive, and Magnum Trading Company, an in-house commodity brokerage service that we can help our customers use to eliminate price risk. As a customer feed yard, I think we are very, very, very service-oriented. And our goal is to try to identify customers that want us to do things aside from just feed cattle. And as we think about branded programs and as we think about QSA and PVP programs, I think the challenge lies with those people that establish ownership of cattle before they ever make a decision about whether they're going to sell one or whether they're going to send it to the feed yard. Okay, Bob. And again, Dr. Belt gave a great overview about quality systems assessment and process verification programs. And I think the point that we want to share with our customers, and obviously a point that we continue to remind ourselves of every day internally, is the fact that these programs are nothing more than doing what you say you're going to do, saying what you do, and then being able to prove it. And I think the real challenge in all of that is being able to prove it. Why should producers be involved in these kinds of programs? I think the main motivation, and we all respond to economic signals, be they good or bad, but it's to capture additional premiums. And I think the question that progressive operations ask themselves is, how do I go about getting started? I think the challenge that you as producers have to do is identify programs that satisfy your specific business needs and that you're capable of obtaining. How should producers be involved? Programs vary drastically in what they are. There are programs that are breed specific. There are programs that are source verification specific. There are programs that cover a wide variety of things that I've listed here. And I think as producers, you need to ask yourselves, which of these kinds of things can I monitor? Which of these kinds of things can I document as I think about developing my participation in some kind of a value-added marketing program? And I think the real question that needs to be addressed is, how is all this extra effort worth it? Many requirements for value-added programs are already standard procedures, are already a standard operating procedure at your place of operation. The fact that we have to identify things that need to be recorded are the things that separate your qualifications or your cattle's ability to qualify from whether they might not qualify. From a marketing standpoint, obviously, the more information that you have available, the easier it is to make your cattle saleable, whether that's as calves, whether that's as stocker cattle, or whether that's retaining ownership and putting them through a feed yard. And again, I think the motivating factor in all of this is how we go about capturing the values that exist. In our organization, we've been able to participate in a variety of vertically integrated supply arrangements. I've listed some of those there that we have been involved in. And again, recognize that each of those have varying requirements. The Power Genetics program, at one point in time, had some breed influence to it, and that's been completely eliminated. And today, we probably market a higher percentage of the cattle we have an opportunity to feed during the course of a year through the Power Genetics program than all of the other programs there combined. It's a program that allows us to operate underneath their quality systems assessment umbrella. We have gone through the audit phase not only with the Power Genetics people, but also with USDA. And it's one that requires that we obtain health records and that we obtain birth date records, and not individual animal birth date records. First calving date, last calving date is acceptable, but those have to be in written form. And what we try to do in the feed yard operation is build a file on specific cattle that satisfy all the audit requirements as we're building the file. So if you have an interest to feed your cattle in a commercial feed yard and expect the feed yard to help you identify marketing programs where you can gain additional value because you've already implemented some of these practices, I think it's important that you spend time contacting yards and identify what programs they have the ability to access. The Meyer program and the Coleman program are both ever-never programs, so antibiotics, implants, and ionophores obviously can never have been used. But in terms of age specifications or breed specifications, there aren't any of those kinds of requirements. So I guess the main message that I would hand out today is the fact that the things that you're already doing at the ranch with regard to record keeping will obviously allow you, with over 70 different branded kind of supply chain integrations in place, allow you to qualify for something more than average market. And I think the challenge is to identify what records you're willing to keep and how you can maximize the value of those records as you move forward and make the decision to either sell or retain ownership of those cattle through the feed yard. And with that, I'm going to stop and ask if there's any questions.
Steve, are we already seeing, in your mind, are we seeing a value assessed? In other words, you're buying calves. Is there a discount or premium associated with those calves that have certain information available that would qualify them for one program or another?
Yeah, Wes, good question. There are value differences, and I mean, we see that every day in the marketplace, whether it's at the local auction, whether it's through video auctions, whether it's through cattle just being offered for sale in the country. The more information that's available, obviously, the more value those things have. I think the real challenge that we as feed yard operators have is to to determine specifically what that information is. And, you know, I think about the fact that we work for 35 or 40 customers over the course of a year. Most of those customers already have established ownership of cattle before they come to us. They're either stocker operators or they're cow-calf operators. And the lack of understanding with regard to the documentation that's required is what keeps a lot of those cattle from being able to qualify. Yes, Brandon.
Steve, you said you compete for both, or for programs that require the never-ever status, Coleman and Meyer. What does that do to your feedlot in terms of ionophores, which is something in the diet? Do you have really separate equipment?
We have a feed truck that is dedicated to nothing more than the ever-nevers. And we have to go through a variety of operational things that are included in our QSA documentations that we have at the feed yard level that identify specifically what those things are. You know, from an operations perspective, it takes an awful lot more training of our personnel to offer the flexibility that we try to offer customers. But again, we're a service-oriented company. It just so happens the services that we provide are that of feed and care and marketing. So I've told customers on a number of occasions, if you want them painted pink and you're willing to pay for it, we're going to figure out how to do it. And I think that's the same approach that we take to these marketing programs. Margins are extremely thin at all levels in this industry. And it doesn't take that much added effort to garner enough market premium to pay you well for those efforts.
Ron?
Steve, working with our genetics, we're in, I assume this cat are destined for Cargill Meat Solutions. Is your source and age premium always available or only when the packer needs the product?
Great question. And I guess my response to that would be so far, through the Power Genetics program, those premiums have been very, very consistent. We've participated with some other packers and have experienced circumstances where there's a large enough available supply that they don't have to pay for the information. And from my vantage point, I would encourage those people that have an interest to feed cattle through these kinds of programs to make those contacts and identify those variables at the start of the feeding program. We fed some ever-nevers, and you get to the end of the program, and you've obviously incurred additional expense to get them to that point. If you don't have a home already secured, you could be in trouble. So I think it's very important that those kinds of decisions be made when the cattle get placed on feed and that you put pressure on the feed yard operation you're dealing with to identify and exactly what those premiums are going to be at the time the cattle become market ready.
Great. Let's give Steve a nice round of applause.